Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Today we're honored to have one of the great Christian leaders of Houston, Texas, the Reverend Willie Ray Davis, with us on Think About It at HBU. He's the senior pastor and founder of the McGregor Palm Community Baptist Church in Houston. Now, Reverend Davis has served as president of the Minister's Advisory Board to the mayor, vice president of the Metropolitan Ministers Alliance, and in several other service and civics leadership roles. He's one of the trustees at Houston Baptist University, and he has a vision not only for HBU, but for the city of Houston. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here with you.
God has used you in such a special way.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't have enough time or paper to talk about how God has really put me in places and among many things in my life.
Well, yeah. I mean, tell us for a minute. You know, in Acts 14:27, it says they rehearsed how God had used them.
Praise God.
I want you to rehearse how God used you.
Well, I give you a good reel, and that's easy for me. I was born in this city, and I am a sibling of 11.
Wow.
My mother and father had 11 children. I grew up right here in Third Ward, Houston, Texas, near University of Houston community. Grew up here with some very, you know, humble times. My mother and family didn't have much during those years. And matter of fact, to show you how God used me, I'm number 4 in the 11 list of 11. I was the first of my parents to go to college. I was the first to enter into the military, United States Army, volunteered during Vietnam. Went over and served in the Special Forces, came back, worked in for several different corporations, Brown & Root, worked for Phillips Chevron, and from there went into ministry. Mm. But here's the thing about it. When I was in the Army is when God saved my life. I was in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. I never shall forget. And I went to a crusade of James Robinson.
Oh,
and you know,
sure.
Back then crusades were like 2 weeks long.
Sure.
And I had a secretary that worked with us there at the base, at the battalion level. I was also a battalion administrator when I left from overseas and came back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Well, she kept inviting me to come to church. And you know how you do when you're young, and I kept putting it off. So finally one night, I was leaving a class I was taking at Cameron University, and I heard the preacher going on. And miraculously, as I was getting ready to get in my car with my key, James Robinson over the loudspeaker says, tonight, if any of you was on your way home and you put your key in the car, God's witness, he said, if you put your key in your car and you die, do you know where you're going? Mm-hmm. And I heard that. It was like the loudest thing in my ear. And I walked over to the railing to listen to the sermon. And within seconds, I was inside the stadium, and God began to work on my heart. And I mean, I gave my life to Christ, and I came home. The Army tried to get me to reenlist, as you would expect. Sure. But I came home, and it started there.
You know, Reverend Willie Davis, you have had such a leadership role in Houston, and we want to also add you're running for city council.
Yes.
At large, position 2.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that dream and why you're doing it, because it's not an easy task.
It is definitely not. 4 years ago was my first time running. Now, I've been pastor in Houston for 34 years. And most of those years, all of the politicians, Democrat, Republicans, I knew them all. Mm-hmm. And many of them came through my church that I pastored. I had a very strong congregation, about 1,300. And so many of them would come through. So I was never the person that was the candidate. I was always the one supporting
sure,
the candidate.
Right.
Until 4 years ago, I came back home. I had a 4-year tenure in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I left Chicago, large church there, and I came back home to Houston. And when I came back, it wasn't the city that I left. Mm-hmm. The crime, the infrastructure of our community was going south. City government was just out of control. And particularly what really made me do it was this, the mayor at that time was Anise Parker. And they introduced this ordinance. It was called it the Houston Equal Rights Ordinance. Now the problem with that with me was that you were trying to impose an ordinance that didn't, it was nothing equal about it, and it was nothing right about it. So I said, we can't live with that. So I ran 4 years ago for this very position. I filed the last day. I was 35 minutes short of the time to file. Had no money. I couldn't even afford push cards. So my wife said, don't worry about it, Ray, but I'll make you a flyer. Can you imagine a political politician going around with flyers? I had money for push cards. So whenever we would go to forums and gatherings, I would put the flyers on the table. Everybody looking like, what is that? That's when I started. And I ended up in the runoff against this same guy, got 74,000 votes. Wow. 74,000 votes. So I knew then, God would say, yes, uh-huh. Yeah, we need somebody. And I think the city was like, whoa, Willie got 74,000.
Wow.
So the message started resonating, you mm-hmm. see? And so, of course, many of my supporters said, Willie, you got to go again. So here I am.
And election day is what day?
Actually, December the 14th.
And then, of course, pre-voting as well?
Yes, early voting ends on the 10th. It started December 2nd. And it ends on the 10th.
Willie, you know, Jesus said that you're a light unto the world.
Yes.
He said you're a city set on a hill.
Yes.
You remember our nation in its embryonic stage. That was said by mm-hmm. John Winthrop about what America was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You've been salt and you've been light in this
yes.
city. And you've done it in a very persuasive, powerful way. Tell us, going back to the Equality Act and all of these other experiences you've had.
Yeah, one of the major things that I opposed that ordinance was because we, especially particularly Black Americans, we have always been a people that was rooted and grounded in our faith
mm-hmm.
and in God and conservative values, conservative principles, you know, conservative lifestyles. About how we raised our children, how we raised our families. And so to impose upon the fight as Black American and Christians, and you know, I remind people oftentimes, generally when they speak of Martin Luther King Jr., they always says, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I oftentimes, especially with a lot of young people that I'm around, I correct them, I say, no, he's Reverend Dr.
Right.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Sure.
Because people tend to forget the role that he played as a man of God. And everything he talked about, he preached in all of his drive was about the principles and the rules of God. This ordinance defies all of that. And so I thought it was me as well as other pastors and leaders in this city said no. Because what you're doing, you're creating a problem. The Equal Rights Bill of 1964, the Civil Rights Law, it plainly talks about the rights, the civil rights of everybody, man, woman, Black, ethnicity, sex, everything. But to impose an ordinance that in itself discriminates, because what the ordinance was, and we were not down there trying to bash or disgrace LGBTQ people, what we were saying was, how are you going to take an ordinance and impose that ordinance on women, girls? You didn't ask them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about having a man in a women's restroom,
mm-hmm.
and so the ordinance by its principle was discriminating against people, and yet you call it a Houston equal right. But nothing equal about that. And I said that to then Anise Parker, Mayor Parker, ain't nothing right about this. And I said to her, I said,
and
man.
She was the former mayor
former
of Houston.
Mayor. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, I said, godliness, we do not, we love people, but don't get it mixed up. And I said to her at that time, I said, many of these, the people that you're trying to make this ordinance for, they have a right in this country to live the way they want to live. I may not agree with it philosophically, and I certainly may not agree with it biblically, but I have people in my church who happen to be of that lifestyle.
Sure.
And I preach to them and love them with a God kind of love. But it is not right, and ain't nothing equal about it either, for you to impose the rights of others. Now you're not talking about an equal right, you're talking about a special right.
And I remember the pastors came together, I believe it was at the Evangelical Free Church.
That's right.
Tell us about what that atmosphere was like, and then what happened in Equality Act not passing.
Yeah, and that's a good question you asked there, because I'm going to tell you, we discovered that, first of all, the mayor was very difficult to work with. Mm-hmm. She's one person who certainly didn't like preachers and pastors, and she made it well known. And really what we did, we were trying to get the mayor to change, you know, to not to put forth this ordinance. She really tried to slip it in. Matter of fact, the ordinance was called Houston Equal Rights Ordinance, and they dubbed it as HERO.
And it sounds very hygienic,
exactly,
the title.
Exactly, right. But here's the interesting thing. They changed their name 16 times. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even know that.
Right.
They went through different names 16 times to come up with that name, the HERO Ordinance. It was so difficult because the coming together of pastors, black pastors, white pastors, Hispanic pastors, Asian pastors, every ethnic group in this town came together. And we tried to impose upon the mayor, don't do this, and the council, let's talk about this. If they kept trying to emphasize that Houston needed an equal rights ordinance like other cities. Well, we're not other cities. And we don't have the problems that other cities have. So I'm trying to say, I mean, you know, as the old saying is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right, of course.
So, but that was her thing. I'm going to impose this. Well, she should have called it what it was. If you wanted to be a ordinance pertaining to the LGBT community, then that's what you should have named it. So we did. We went after her, and of course, she put it before council. It passed before council, like 11-6. So what we did, we took it upon ourselves to override that, and we tried to get her to put it on the ballot and let the voters of City Houston vote on it.
Right.
That's what's wrong with our politics today. They're trying to get around the people. And I said to her, I said, it's kind of interesting to me that you are from the political party that emphasize the discriminations of voters' rights, and yet you are stopping the citizens of Houston to vote. So, which is it?
Often the tolerant are very intolerant.
That's right, and they're very intolerant. So what we did, we got together in order to put it on the ballot. We got together and we was needed 17,000 signatures in order to put it on the ballot in 30 days, which is a real big task to do in the political world. We got 55,000 votes somewhere in that area. And it was just, it blowed their mind. And we rolled in boxes in the city hall with signatures of people in the community. And then the mayor took the position and tried to invalidate the signatures. Then we had to go to court. And so we fighting Goliath. So we knew we was fighting a Goliath. And we defeated her in the court, the state Supreme Court, ruled a writ of mandamus was filed by our attorney. And interestingly, the city had about 15 attorneys to our one.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
And so God's hand was in it all the time. And what God wanted us to do is one of our great ministers in this town, he's 90 years old, very great leader, Dr. F.N. Williams Sr., Reverend Dr. F.N. Williams Sr. And Dr. Williams, a lot of folks said, Dr. Williams, why are you involved in this? You can't win. You can't win this. And Reverend Williams says, I'm not in it to win. I'm in it to stand. And so we stood. And guess what? We took it to the, got it on the ballot, took it to the public, and they voted 61%. Against that HERO Ordinance, and particularly from the black community.
You know, Reverend Willie Davis, your DNA is a DNA of leadership.
Bless you. Thank you.
And we don't often find leaders today. And you remember Paul said in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand.
That's right.
Stand.
Stand.
And to stand for something is a unique commodity in today's trying to become all things to all people.
Absolutely.
How did you develop this leadership DNA, and what's your vision for the future of Houston?
What I would like to see for our city is, number one, is one of the main reasons why I chose to run for this office as well as be a pastor leader. I think it's important for us to, not only in the school institution of like Houston Baptist University, which I'm very proud to be a part of, the Board of Trustees. It's a great honor. When I was asked, I was just blown away. But not only do we need to emphasize God and Christ and the teachings of Christ within the institutions, but what we've got to do, even from the church, we've got to start increasing young people's mind back to God. Mm-hmm. In many of our communities, we've fallen from God. Yes. And you know, the Word of God said that would be a great falling away. And we're actually witnessing that. So what I want to do, I want to represent Houston the way it was represented. I want to represent Houston with a godliness. I tell people when I go place, I said, you go to that horseshoe at the City Hall and you find every profession known to man around that table. Engineers, doctors, lawyers, architects, everybody. The guy I'm running against is an architect. And it's all about the contractors and the businesses, but no voice, no Christian voice, no reasoning from God. And what I hope to bring to that table is morals, ethics, back in the city government so people can have confidence in their representative. People often say when you run for an office, well, you becoming a politician. Well, you know, I tell people, I say, well, you know, let's go back and revisit that. When you look at the charter of the government, it doesn't say that the office is a political office, it says it's a servant office. So what I want to do is to be a servant. I don't want to be a suit in a seat. Mm-hmm. I want to be a servant in a seat. So I think we need to go back to that, and I want to be the voice. I want to see the vision of Houston become safe, and people can start reasoning and be more mannerable toward each other in a godly way. And I'm unapologetic about that. I let them know, mm-hmm. I am who I am.
Sure.
And I'm gonna stand. I'm not gonna be ashamed of God. If you're ashamed of me before men, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. And so I bring that because the people I pastor, they're taxpayers. My family members, we're taxpayers.
Exactly.
So we want service for our dollar. And I just think we need right representation.
You know, Willie, as you know, I was listening today to Wall Street Journal's Money podcast, and it talked about the most recent report that charity giving has dropped below the 30% level. Mm-hmm. And it's corollary to the rising population we call nuns, something my wife and I have been studying for about 5 years. When you say these things, the need is urgent today.
It is.
It's not like laissez-faire, everything is as it's been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a new generation, Gen Z, coming on the scene.
Yeah.
And you remember that Old Testament verse where it said they didn't know the God of their fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Someones have to stand in the gap, and they have to lovingly help imbue adults, all of the people coming into Houston,
mm-hmm.
we're the most ethnically diverse city in the nation.
That's right.
In the unique Christian heritage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know how to do that.
I certainly do. I my humble beginnings, I certainly do. If it had not been for God and in my life, and I must add this because this is relevant to who I am and what I'm about. When God changed me, and I was telling a story when I was in Lawton, Oklahoma, I was serving the United States Army. At that time when I was in Lawton, Oklahoma, my mother was not even attending church. So when the Lord saved me in Oklahoma City, in Lawton, Oklahoma, that night I got saved, I called my mother and told her what had happened to me. And she said, "Yes, son, you know, God is just using you. He's just, you just being born again." And I said, "Yes." So I came home, didn't re-enlist, came home. And at that time, I was the catalyst that got my mother in church, my sisters and brothers in church, and I baptized my mother with the minister at 50 years old.
Oh, awesome.
God is good. And ever since then, that's been the driving force of my life. We do have a city that if we're not careful, when I did my 4-year tenure in Chicago, I wondered why did the Lord send me there? Because I'm a native Texas boy, you know, Houstonian raised. 20 years at one church. And of course, when I resigned, it devastated the church. And I went to Chicago, took on this larger church, right in the roughest community in Southside.
Oh, yeah.
Southside.
Yeah.
But God took me, sent me there to show me. Sometimes God will put you in places, I want to show you what you don't want to be.
Exactly.
I can show you what you need not be. And then he sent me back home. And I say this because the point you just made about the makeup of Houston, we are a very multicultural community. Now, here's one of the detriments to that. If you don't handle it carefully, everybody will start being segregated. And once you start segregating communities, you with me?
Right.
It creates another, you know, thing, even among our young people.
Right.
And so one of the problems in Chicago, the crime has gone up. There's no economic empowerment in many of those communities. So what do? If you don't do legal crime, you're going to do illegal. I mean, if you're not going to do illegal things, you're going to do illegal things.
Yes.
So either do it legally or illegally. And so God has afforded me the opportunity to be in this position to where I hopefully can make a big difference in my life. And then, and I'm just, like I said, I'm honored the fact that God put me in a position to serve the board here at HBU. And that just, to me, is just part of the makeup of what God doing in my life to help our city.
I know Dr. Sloan has such admiration for you.
Oh, I love him and Sue. I love him.
And what is so great about Dr. Sloan is he if he said it once, he said it so many times that HBU cannot lose its Christian distinction.
Absolutely.
And embracing that, not just the confessional statement that Jesus is Lord, but that in all the academic programs, that biblical worldview.
Yes.
That's, and you, as a trustee, are ensuring that value.
Yes,
I mean, you've been in the trenches. You've been in the warfare.
I've been in it. You know, I did several different mission trips, you know, to the Philippines and, you know, Manila. I went to one of the particular places in my ministry years. I also do that. And I went to an island, because Philippines has many islands. And there was one called Davao Island, Tagum City. Mm-hmm. And I never shall forget, and I often think about this when Dr. Sloan talks and he speaks about the teachings of Christ within the bedrock of our institution here and how that spreads off. And then recently we met a young lady who was in a foreign country who now got the benefit to come to HBU and to, you know, to get her education. I just had to hold back the tears just listening to her. But that's what happens when God is the head and the center of your life, even in the institutions that we're teaching. When I went to the Philippines, to Davao Island, we go and preach in Christ. And there's a lot of factions, Muslims, factions up there. And of course, you put your life on the line when you go there. And we went way up in the mountains. And I just thought to myself, you know, well, you know, I'm 10,000 miles away from home, and Lord, if I needed you, I need you now. You know? but you're right. The teachings of Christ, you take it worldwide. That's what he told us to do. Take it to the four corners of the world. And that's why I'm so proud of what God has been able to do through me. as this one of six boys and one of 11 children. And I've now pastored three churches in my life, and all of my siblings are members of my church. It doesn't get
well. If you can pastor your siblings, you can pastor anybody. Take it. I have four brothers, and I compliment you. The Reverend Willie Davis, HBU Board of Trustees member, senior pastor, founder of the McGregor Palm Community Baptist Church in Houston. So many things, and now running for city council at large, position 2, Houston. Mm-hmm. Willie, we just think the world of you, and
man,
we're so grateful that you're a part of the HBU team.
Oh, I love it.
And you got a lot of people cheering you on.
Thank you so much, and I just love you guys. I just get a boost, just the thought of the fact that I could participate and go over, talk with the athletes, and get out on the field and cheer them on. This is a great institution. Yeah. I mean, Dr. Sloan is phenomenal.
He is
a phenomenal man. I tell people have two opinions of him, publicly and private. And both of my opinions are the same with him. I just love him and Mrs. Sloan.
I know, they both do you and we do too.
Yes, blessings, sir. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
I love you, man.
Amen.
God bless you.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.